Thank you for joining us for Relationship 204. I am your host, Tanisha Simpkin, and we are so glad that you guys have joined us on a Thursday night. We have a host of others who will join us also that's part of the team. We have Shakina Scream. We also have Melanie Bulchin, John Moplaisir, Lewis Johnson, and Gerald Burkhalter. Why do we call it Relationship 204? Because relationship can be one-on-one basic, and most of the time relationships are complicated. So guys, just take a load off and enjoy.
Hey guys, how are you? This is your host, Tanisha Simpkins. How are you guys tonight?
Hey, what's going on?
Okay, well, good. I'm so glad that you guys are here. You know, we can be anywhere on a Thursday night, but I am just blessed that you guys are here for the show. And tonight's show is It's Okay to Talk About Sex. We're only an hour show, guys, who are listening out there. So if you do have anything to say in between while we are speaking, if you just press the number one, we'll be so glad to charm you in. I'll just give the last four digits of your phone number, and then you can ask whatever question or just join in to whatever comment that you guys have to say. Is that good? Is that all right? So who do I have that's on the line right now besides myself?
You have your girl, Shakina Glory, also known as the Activator.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Okay. This is Lewis Johnson, also Men Loving Right on Instagram. What's going on?
All right.
What's going on? John Montplaisir. Pleasure to be on, ladies and gentlemen. I'm anticipating the conversation tonight.
Awesome.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Okay, so you guys, I'm just going to go ahead and get right into it. And people are thinking, okay, so Tanisha, why would you choose this topic? And the reason why I chose this topic is because so many times in relationships or even friendship, we just get to bring up the word sex. You know, it becomes like a forbidden subject, you know what I'm saying? You know, or when someone brings it up around friends or in church or in gatherings, you know, everybody get quiet, like that's the nasty girl talking or that's the rude boy talking, you know, if we're talking about sex. And as I know, and I think all of us know, that that's probably one of the most important conversations that you can have in a relationship, marriage, or going into a relationship. I know that there are stages of the conversation, like when you're young, then when you become adult, and then as you get into that, I call it that seniorship. I don't know if that's a word, but into that seniorship age that, you know, that you can relate to your partner. Would you guys agree or anything like that?
You got to say that again for us.
I got to say that again. Y'all didn't hear me?
We heard you, but you went so deep, you got to break it down for us. I don't know about the others, but you know, I rode the yellow school bus to school. They say that messed with you a little bit. So break it down for us again.
I agree with John. Listen, y'all ain't going to do me like this over here. So like I said, guys, who are out there, there are different stages of conversation when we talk about sex. The stages as we're younger, the stages as an adult, and the stages in our seniorship when we're talking about sex. And the conversation is not to be afraid to actually have that conversation. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's like if I talk about it, am I the fast girl? Am I the so curious girl? Sometimes people just really want to know. And like I was saying, I just think that it's important within a relationship that it should be discussed. Some people feel like they should wait until, you know, 9 months until they get into it or once they get married that they talk about it. But I'm just a believer that I want to know now. I don't know about nobody else, but I want to know now. That doesn't mean that we're indulging. It's just that just those questions that you're just curious about to know. Okay.
Well, I'll say this. I got crucified a few years ago because, well, it was definitely a hot topic, but I went live on social media and I did something called Sex Expectations where I, and, you know, the saints were on there and they wanted me crucified because I said I think it's not only a good thing, but oftentimes very necessary that we talk about sex prior to marriage. You know, somewhere in that premarital counseling, the topic needs to come up. Hey, how often do you expect this? What do you think? Here's what I bring to the table. I got enough energy for once or maybe twice a day, and you ain't going to wear me out. You're not going to flip me over. Touch here. Don't touch that. I'm not here with this. I'm feeling, you know, there's so much that needs to be talked about. And so I believe we come in with expectations, what I call sexpectations, and we could be left disappointed. You know, you think I'm going to be on the ceiling just, you know, doing things I can't do. I expect you to put your legs behind your head and, you know, you can't do that. And, you know, it could create all types of issues. And so we need to have a dialogue. Hey, this is what I can provide. Here's where I'm at. A two times a week person. You know, it's like I'm a two times a week person. I'm a three times a day person. You know, there are people that, you know, I need it 7-8 times a day. Well, you know, everybody can't hang with that. You know, you got people that's a once a month. I can't do that. That ain't going to work. That's right. You know, that's not the will of God for my life. You know, and so we need to have that dialogue. And it's not just frequency. Are you a fast person? Are you a passionate person? What, you know, are you a rough person? What you into? You know, we need to talk about that. People are time, people love, and this is all kind of stuff going on. And so the conversation is necessary, very necessary.
Anybody? And I agree because I feel like I do like the 200 questions. Yeah, you know, I mean, I've always said that. And I do the 200 questions, and that's part of my 200 questions. Part of my process with the 200 questions, I'll say something like, well, you know, we different people. I try to be, you know, neutral with it. I say, well, do you have any questions? I say, write them down. I say, think of them. I said, and I won't be shy to answer it, and I hope that you're not shy to answer my questions. Because I just, and then it's like, well, if I do that, does it come off, guys, as it's too soon, or is it like, oh, she must be ready to do something? I mean, like, I'm thinking that in my mind at the same time, like, am I asking too soon? If we've been talking, you know, about a month or whatever, and I just ask you these questions, just, you know, generally, am I coming off too soon or what? And that's for the guys to answer.
I think that's a excellent question because, you know, I've run into that issue myself. How soon is too soon to have the sex talk? Because you don't want people to think that, you know, that's all you want in there for is, you know, for the sex. So, I get that dilemma. And more often than not, I find out that women are the ones that are worried about how soon is too soon more than men, which is crazy. But, you know, because it just lets you know that women want it just as bad as we do, guys. But,
how do I do,
you know, I say have it as soon as you can. Because, look, I'm going to just tell you, this Pastor G, y'all already know, I'm going to keep it real. I'm telling you, I want to know what you want, how you want it, how often you want it, and I want to know off the bat. Because if you want to be the ones that just want to do it once a month, listen, we got to part ways. I'm not even going to invest any more time in you because that's just, I got to have it as often as possible, okay? So I don't think it's a problem with, you know, having a conversation as soon as possible. I think that's a part of the process of getting to know the person. So that's my opinion on that.
Well, I definitely want to say something.
Go ahead, Shakira.
Go ahead.
Okay, I definitely want to say something. So one thing I've learned as a woman, 40 years strong now, men, that's their love language. Men need sex. So I've learned that, period. I don't know one man that don't love sex, need it, want it all the time if he can get it. Am I right, man?
Right.
You better preach, woman of God. You better preach, woman of God. Tell them again. We need it. Come on, sir.
Spiritual dad, my spiritual dad told me, listen, there's a lot of things men want, but at the top of the list, the number one thing is sex. That's what he said. And so I want to say, you know, two things. One, as Christians, we're all Christian on this line. I think there's nothing wrong with talking about that in the dating phase because you should kind of want to know about the person. I think we got to be kind of careful, though, because it can wake up some stuff. And definitely if men have these stronger urges than women, you know, if I could be honest, I think some women are just like men. They have a high drive just as much as men to want to have sex all the time as well. But I think we just got to be a little careful with the conversation to make sure it don't go too deep in, oh, you want like to try stuff. Have you, you know, get to where it opens up that door of now we're so curious based on the conversation to now we're just, when we see each other next time, that's all we got in our mind is when we're going to do it. So I think we should definitely have it, but we got to be very careful when we have it to make sure, because we don't know the level of the other person. We're still learning each other. So I don't know how much, if sex is really an addiction for you or if it's just, you just like it, you know. And so I say have a conversation, be mindful. The second thing that I want to say is women, if you want a man to be honest with you, I'm sorry. The Bible. I didn't write the Bible. Y'all know I'm going to quote the Bible. I didn't write it. Your body don't belong to you, and his don't belong to him. And the best
preach, woman
way
of
I've learned, and it's hard to do. I'm not going to say it's easy to do, but the best way to disarm your husband after a fight, open up the candy store. I'm telling you, it
all
works.
We're going to hold
you
up. We're going to go there right now.
I don't go there, but I'm just saying, ladies, you need to get with the program, and if you're there once a week, I'm not saying that God can't send you somebody. He can. Oh, if you're there once a month, he can. But I'm just telling you from a man perspective, based on me talking to men and my spiritual father, so, gang, honey, you got to get in it. So you need to ask God.
I want to say something. I want to jump in.
Before we get to, hold up, John. Before we get to, we are already a couple. I want to get to the pre-stage of. I think Lewis was about to say something before Shakina. Lewis, you had something to say?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Sorry, because I didn't think I was getting through. So I'm not sure if you, when you ask that question, the question can also be a form of when. Like, when in the relationship, is it when we first date or when we making the decision to really have those serious conversations about courting or making this woman, you know, or this man my forever. So, because a lot of times, you know, just like in relationships in the very beginning, you know, some people fake the funk, give you the best, right? They give you their best hand, and the same thing, they'll say the same thing in the very beginning, but then if you talk to any couple that's been married for a period of time, they will tell you that sex don't become sometimes the number one because either one wants it more than the other, or it gets kind of boring, or, you know, you lack the sense of understanding what sex is really about from a continuous enjoyment of pleasure with your mate. So I said that to say this. One of the probably key, and I was talking to a doctor, her name is Dr. Connery, and we were kind of going back and forth, and she wants to have a little, you know, a little group thing. One of the key points was asking about your health and your mind state about sex. Because if your mind is not right about sex, I don't care what your health is, you're not going to cater to the woman that you're with or the man that you're with. That's number one. Or if you think sex is just, I need to tear my wife up, you know, every day and not understand what she really needs, what she needs sex for from a, you know, an emotional standpoint,
you can lose her, or you can lose the whole idea of enjoying sex. And then last.
So let me ask you a question, Louis.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm going to cut you off. Let me ask you this question. It's a personal question. You don't have to answer. So from what you just said, and I know that you do consider a relationship a journey, and it is taken seriously. So if you meet a young lady and she starts just discussing some questions in regards to sex or sex acts and have some questions, maybe the second week you guys haven't mentally gotten there, what would your response be to her?
Well, my response, well, I'll give you an example. On a majority of the time, I mean, I probably get that question all the time if I'm not designing that the way I want the relationship to go. If the sex conversation come up, you know, the way I look at it is, number one, I think it's sacred. I think it's something that's important. I think it's something that's also should be done when you fully understand what you're doing. Don't have sex because you want to just bone. You know what I mean? For me, because then I can't really gauge. I cannot gauge the relationship correctly if I like you. If you want to just have sex, I cannot properly gauge the relationship if I really like you, because you may just be in it just to be getting, you know, thrown down in the bed. So my conversation would have to, it's definitely civil. You know, it's definitely sexy because, you know, I have a way of having a conversation around sex that makes it comfortable. And I think that's important because I think sex is a comfortable to be in, you know, regardless of the little quickies and whatever. Sex is something that puts you at another level with someone that you can't come back from. And when you start having those conversations, about what would sex look like in our relationship going forward, the topic of health is important, especially for men with ED and everything else like that, and how it plays with our mind, and also the understanding about what it is and what it does for the relationship.
Let's be
realistic.
Let me finish.
I agree with what Louis is saying. I think that we should all have those health conversations and be, you know, and be intentional when we're having the sex conversation. But the reason why I opened up with let's be realistic is most of us are not having those type of conversations when it comes to the sex talk. We're not talking about hell. We're not talking because no man wants to say, you know, I don't know any man that says, you know, well, sometimes I have a problem getting it up or keeping it up, because no man want to look like he's incompetent in the eyes of his lady. And we're not talking about, you know, stuff like that. So my question to you, Louis, or to whoever, is how do we come into those kinds of conversations And in a comfortable way, how do we have the healthy sex conversation? How do we have the sex talk in the way that you were talking about having it, Louis? Because being realistic, I can probably bet no man or no woman is having that type of sex talk when it comes to,
I agree.
Or that type of conversation when it comes to the sex talk.
And that's why I said when. So if I'm making you my forever, we at that point where we just like, yo, we're moving forward, we're such and such, I think that type of conversation should be had as far as what am I doing to make sure I'm a healthy male, to make sure I'm providing for my woman to continue. Listen, in the very beginning, yes. I mean, you know, in this day and age, if you young and you good, you don't have to have that conversation. I don't believe you need to have that deep of a conversation. But I do believe the conversation if your mind is right around what sex is, she can engage what type of man you are and what type of emotional support you're going to give her during and after sex. Now, I agree. Sometimes we don't have that conversation. And guess what? Today, you got women who will do better at pleasing themselves because they don't have certain conversations, and a man come up short. And next thing you know, it's a problem in the bedroom because she now doing stuff to keep her stuff going, and you chilling in the next room because you got a problem. Or that relationship may be cut off, and you may not even know it.
I hear you. John, you out there?
I hope some of these new gadgets and devices stop working. I really do. These women are out of control. Brother, I saw a gadget online that was being advertised. You know the driller? You know that you drill walls into? They took that piece and created a whole new system. And
are you serious?
No wonder, brother, can't do. Baby girl, we can't.
Who
is this demonic guy?
Let me ask you this question then. Now, because this is a question that a lot of guys will ask a woman. You know, the first question they say, and I don't know why they ask this question. They always say, "Well, how many people you been with?" I think that's the most stupidest, ridiculous question. How many people you been with? And then go ahead.
I think men ask that question because I think the number one reason why we ask that question is because we want to know if you've been run through. Have you been a hoe?
It's not that we can't handle the truth.
It's not that we can't handle the truth. We just want to know how many Negroes you're gonna be comparing us to in your head while we doing our thing. Cause listen, I'm just gonna be real with you. I ain't trying to be with nobody that's done been with every deacon on the deacon board, every pastor in my inner circle. Cause we all live in the same area. You done been with 90% of the pastors in my area. Listen, and then I got to go come talk to my boys and say, yeah, man, me and my wife, she surprised me. And he was like, oh yeah, man, I know what she looked like in that black number. Did she wear the black number? No man want to be, you know, want to have the thought
of a woman's past. A real man can handle my past.
Let me tell you something. It ain't got nothing with doing with a. It ain't got nothing to do with
on,
a real
hold on,
man.
Can I jump in here real quick? I like the statement that she said.
Who are you?
I think. This is John talking. I think we're unfair with the whole past, and I'm going to tell you why. And I'm not thinking that way y'all think I am. We all care about people's past. No matter how much we say I don't care about the person's past, we do. I'll tell you how I can prove that. I've talked to tons of women who will tell you if the Negro was gay in the past. And I said, well, since y'all don't care about the past, why does it matter now if the brother claims to be straight now? But I just can't deal with nobody that had that kind of past. If somebody was a murderer in the past, he ain't murdering no more. Why can't you be with
right,
him?
Right,
see,
right.
The reality is demonize both sides. The person that chooses to be with a porn star, let's say, that's their prerogative and their right. But also the person that says, I don't want an individual that's been with 67 people also have that right. Because the reality is, I'm going to keep it 100, a lot of individuals aren't dealing with the soul ties that they have with these people. A lot of people are carrying these unnecessary baggage, and I can get very scientific with it, but we'll stay on the spiritual plane for a second. There's a lot of emotional and spiritual baggage that people are bringing in from mishandled sexual intimacy. And so I think
that's a good way to put
just,
it.
When you're just out here just, and I'll get physiological with it. Sometimes a man does act, I'm going to be 100 with you, I hope no one gets upset. Sometimes a man acts because sometimes, Jesus, you know, you get married, you try to do the right thing, and you go in,
go ahead,
and
go
you
ahead.
Drown. You drown.
You didn't drown because you drowned because you understand what I'm saying?
That was my next question about
you see
the size
what I'm, you
of
see where
size
I'm at?
Matter.
Here's the truth. Can I be honest?
Anisha, it don't mean that you drowned because of her having a whole lot of people in her ocean. You could have drowned because you ain't have enough. Okay, let me be that one.
What? This is not me personally. I don't want y'all to think it's me personally. I've never drowned. But I will say this. I will say this. Let me say this. There are times, let's be honest, there are times. Why is reconstruction surgery such a big thing now? Women aren't just damaging themselves with people. They're damaging themselves with these little tools.
No. Reconstruction surgery is not necessarily that, because people get reconstruction surgery. It just sometimes it's just their skin. People get reconstruction surgery because they eyelids or they have bags. They want to, pull back their skin.
No, that ain't the one I'm talking about. Woman of God, that's not the one I'm talking about.
I'm talking about
I don't want to get graphic.
Yeah.
But when they tighten it up, they got to go in and tighten it up.
Because sometimes, and you can help me out, size do matter, but we just don't say no. We just roll with the punches. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I think that's problematic.
Just like Gerald was saying, this is a question. I actually have this right here, and it says fantasizing about someone else. That was a question that I have here. Do you think that or is it natural? That was the thing right here. It's a natural part of a human nature to wonder about the what if and to subconsciously create scenarios out in your sleep. Basically, when you're snowballing or if you're having, do you doing sex, I just kind of shift it, is fantasizing part of sex, even if you're with your husband, mate, or whoever? And this is a legitimate question for some people really want to know.
I'm going to go first, and they'll call me insecure afterwards.
I think it's very problematic that
I'm on you just putting in my best work, just going in, and you out here fantasizing that this somebody else doing it. I find it personally insulting. And if the roles were reversed, and you just not the individual before me, you would take offense to it. And sometimes you can I would hope you can kind of tell what's going on here. But I think that's the whole point. If you're going to choose to be in a monogamous relationship, then what you're also saying is whether mentally, emotionally, physically, or any other way possible, you're going to be committed to one individual. Now, if you're going to deal with a polygamous type or polygyny type lifestyle, that's something different. But when you're saying you're dealing with one individual and you're monogamous, then it's problematic for you to be up here sexing somebody else up in your mind. And the thing is,
So I'm going to give Gerald 30 seconds. You get 1 minute for your answer, and then Lewis, go ahead.
Let me see. You're trying to muzzle the ox. Okay, but that's all right. I have to agree with John. If I'm down here putting in my best work, I'm going to town, and you fantasizing about somebody else, that means that you don't want to be with me. You want to be with whoever you're thinking about, and then we have a problem. But this is why I think it's important to have the conversation, the sex talk, early on, because then I'm in the conversation. This is what it's going to do. It's going to plant a seed. I'm going to plant a seed with having this conversation. I'm going to talk to you so good that you're going to be like, I wonder, can this Negro back up all this noise that he's talking? And then, it opens up doors, like Shakina said. And you have to be careful, especially if you're not married. But you got to be willing to explore with the person that you're with. And if you're thinking about somebody else, then you're really not ready to be in a committed monogamous relationship. So that's my problem.
All right, Louis.
Ah, shoot. I'm always the opposite person, huh? So, and not that I don't agree with my brothers. I've been married 7 years. You know what I mean? So I was married 7 years, and, you know, when you're with someone for a period of time, at some point, you know, if you don't come up with ways and different ways of doing certain things, and it's starting in the mind with your woman, then you will, the sex will start to shift and go different ways because, you know, after she's used to you and you used to her, it's almost like being with a female that's like, from a male perspective, it's like being with a female that's so used to you that if you don't do something different, then she will fantasize no matter what about
Come
anybody else. So you got to, for me, that's why I said being married, I had to, and I didn't have this problem, at least I didn't think. My issue was just, I was just so neglectful about certain things. And one thing she said to me, she said, Louis, she said, one of the things I like about you is you always have good ideas about doing certain things, and I love that about you as a man. Because I know the wife I had was a fine mother, something with a nice body, and it was because of other curves. So do size matter? Do certain things happen to, you know, maybe to certain people it does? But at the same time, if you don't develop and get her mind right, keyed into you before you have sex with her, then yes, you do run the risk of her thinking about somebody else, unfortunately. I don't care how much work you do. I don't care how much.
Thank you. That's an honor.
Can I rebuttal that?
Nothing.
Hold on. Sakina, you have anything to add to this?
No, I'm good. I'm all for my brother Louis. You better say that, boy.
Wait a minute. Hold on. As a female,
we would say, and ladies, if you're out there listening, if you have something to say, if you want to add to the conversation, just press 1. I'll get the last 4 digits of your phone number, and you can have a comment. And as a female, that is so correct. Because I know that, you know, y'all think that sometimes. She think about, you know, what's on her mind, what she think about. You know, all those type of things during that time. But I think it's more, just like you were saying, you know, you have to make sure that, you know, those things or certain ideas or, you know, pleasures come along with a lot of that. Now, let me ask this question here because I don't want to spend that much time on it. I know you got a rebuttal. If you are, this is a question here, actually, and I'm going to read the question just like what it says. Okay. All right. We saved ourselves for marriage, and now, 7 months later, he rather masturbate than have sex. I tried talking to him, but it's like talking to a brick wall. Are we destined for a horrible sex life? And my question would be, I guess it would be, what could make some of those things happen? She tried talking to him. It could be some advice that can be given. I want everybody to try to give an answer, but not a long-drawn answer. So try to keep it at a minimum. Anyone can go first.
Let me chime in because it's going to tie into what I was trying to say to begin with my brother Louis. I think part of the issue, I think when it comes to women, I think there's a justification for a lot of things. But if we were to reverse the roles, it would be problematic. So we'll go back to the, oh my God, if you're not doing this, that, and the other, then I'm going to fantasize about somebody else. I think that's problematic. I'll tell you why. Because if I'm not doing something and it's not pleasing to you, why not sit with me like an adult and say, here's what I desire, here's what I want. Now, granted, if I'm not fulfilling that, then we have an issue. And for the individual that just posed this question, it's a similar thing. You're not doomed to have a poor sex life. There's a reason why this individual prefers to be out here beating their meat as opposed to because the way God designed that thing, before you get to stroke and when you slide in, you feel like you're in heaven already. I don't know any man that would prefer to beat their meat. If masturbate, excuse me for my terminology, if you prefer to masturbate, there is a real issue there. It could be either an addiction. It could be there could be something else he desires. There is something going on that they're not communicating to one another. And I think as adults in marriages, we have to sit down and really, really have open dialogues concerning sex. Because what I find is I have a lot of women who will hit me up and say, I'm not happy sexually. I'm not this. The man can't do this. The man can't. He's not hitting it. My ex did it better than he did. This, that. They have a lot to tell me. And one question I always ask them, have you sat down with this man and have a talk with him? Oh, no, he don't know. Well, how on earth is he ever going to change? So we must sit down and be open, not bruising his ego, not putting him down, still respecting him, still honoring him, but at the same time, in love, come to the individual. And there's a way you can talk and say, look, it's a little hurtful that you're masturbating as opposed to me. I feel unwanted. I feel undesired. Is there some way we can be, I desire intimacy. I want a deeper connection, a bond. Is there some way we can make this happen? I think 90% of the issues that we deal with sexually can be fixed via conversation. That's my personal opinion.
All right. Anyone else?
I'm going to say this is the reason why the sex talk is so important. I think most people, especially those of us that are in Christendom and we are in church, because for whatever reason, the church frowns upon anything sexual before marriage, including conversation. The reason why most people, and probably this couple, is facing, like John just said, we face these issues because we don't have the communication in place. It so much would be solved if the woman would just say, hey, this is what I want, this is what I like, and this is what I want you to do for me. And the man would say, you know, so much would be solved if the man would say the same thing in return. I think that because we just expect each other to know, like I expect you, like if the man is, I can assume if this guy is just jacking off all the time, masturbating all the time, it's probably because he's addicted to porn. He's watching this porn, these pornos, and he wants his wife to be like one of these porno stars. And instead of him saying that, you know, they need to have that open conversation. You know what I mean? A lot of people.
Let me ask y'all this question. I'm sorry, Jerry. Let me ask y'all this question right here because someone just sent me this. So say you are married. And what if that person, you know, I know sometimes we, you know, like Lewis was saying, you know, people talk a lot of game, but when it gets down to it, what if they get to that point and then he or she be like, well, I don't do that. Well, I don't do that. Oh, that's nasty. You understand what I'm saying? They may have certain pleasures that they do like, and he or she, mostly she, would be like, well, that's not what I do. You know, I don't do that. You know, like, then where do you go? You know, are you still doomed for a horrible sex life?
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
You know, oftentimes when you're dealing with believers, people have remained abstinent or stayed celibate, if you will. I don't like that term, but abstinent for a period of time. And then you spoke all this good game. Oh, I'm a, when I get you, woo, honeymoon going to be fire. And then you get there and you talking about, you know, I'm sorry. You want me to put my mouth on that? You go. I think we need to grow up and mature up. If it's something that's really disgusting, distasteful to you, you don't like, make that known from the beginning. But the games of manipulating and deceiving an individual up to the point of marriage, especially if you know they're absent, that's a different kind of witchcraft. That's just wrong on all kinds. It's just wrong. Just be upfront, be honest. Again, I think we solve tons of problems when we do that.
Where's Shakina? Come on, talk to us, sister.
No, I was just about to call her name.
all of you guys are saying stuff that's very interesting and important, and I agree with it. So when I'm in agreement, you know, I'll have nothing to say. But I will say, I'm old school, and I think I'm really old school. I had a guy that was interested in me a couple of years ago, and he told me, I am not marrying no woman until after I hit it first. I got to sample it because I got to know what I'm working with. And he was so strong and, like, determined, and he was not breaking. And to this day, he's not married, right? I kept telling him, well, if you're going to date me, I can promise you, you're not hitting it before marriage. I'm just not doing it. You know what I'm saying? When I got married, I waited to marriage. I waited. I'm just not doing it. People probably didn't believe that, but I did. However, it was a short period of time he got married. But nevertheless, I still went on record to say I waited. But here's the thing. I feel like I'm old school, so I just kind of believe if we are two mature adults and we have decided that we wanted to be together and we haven't tapped it yet and we don't know what the sex is like, we have some type of conversation, I don't think that it would be so difficult to figure out how to make it work, how to make it mash, how me to figure out how you like it and me be open to the things you like. Even if I'm not somebody, I got a friend girl who don't do oral sex at all with her husband. And, you know, they had a conversation, and it's been 9 years, and she just now interested in doing it, you know. But he respected that, and they have a strong marriage. So I just feel like at some point when you're doing it, like, you should figure out how he like it, how she like it, and y'all should begin to gel with each other, unless it's a selfishness thing, and it's all about you getting yours and her getting hers, and then that's selfish. But to me, don't you go through the motions and feel each other out as you're doing it, and you say, okay, we like that. Yeah, I'm going to do that again, and vice versa. So that's how I'm looking at it.
Listen, Shakina just said something that is so key.
Yeah, that's why, can you hear me?
Yes.
That's why it's so important to understand what true unadulterated love is, because love, real love, kind of will make you overlook some things. It will, no matter what. So it'll make you do certain things and say okay to certain things. But going back to the other question, I think from the guy beating his meat and stuff like that, it's twofold. Number one, it's accountability. He has no accountability to nothing when he jerks off. It's to himself. He does have an accountability when he sleeps with his wife, and he doesn't have control. He may be someone who has a problem where he can't keep it up, but come too fast, you know, and it frustrates her, or something different happens where he does not have control. So it could be that beating the meat, you have control over that.
What guarantee
the other part about it is that I'm a perfect believer in what they call the five love language to the second power, meaning when two people get together, yes, the five love languages is great, but two unique individuals should figure out their own love language about them. And that's why when you figure what that is, your own love language, and it could be unique. It may not have anything to do with the five. That's why you see couples and they walk around, you be like, how in the world did they get together? Like, or how in the world? Because they've developed something that they developed their own unique love language that works for them, and nothing can break that. So if someone doesn't like, you know, she doesn't like going down on him, but it's okay because their love still lasts with other things being done. You know, that's just what it is. You have to develop that. And when you do get with someone and you do learn each other, you start to figure out what each other want and what you can and cannot deal with.
I like what you said.
I'm going to keep it real. Hold up, Jerry, before you speak. You know, certain people, you know, would just tell you why you there or in the act. To the left, to the right, you know, leg here. I'm just serious because after a while, just like you said, you get that comfortable. You know, we married, we comfortable, lights on, whatever the case may be. I mean, if it's that type of person or it's that type of personality, you should be able to, you know, flip here, what, you know, because I just feel like, you know, I'm helping you, you helping me, we're being teachable to each other. till we're comfortable. You understand what I'm saying?
True.
You don't want to be so uncomfortable and you're looking crazy and they like, what's wrong with you? And you just don't say anything. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense. Let me say this.
Go ahead, John.
Go first. Go ahead.
I was just going to say something quickly. You know, to the couple that asked the question, or the young lady who asked the question concerning her husband, who would prefer to masturbate. Coming from an individual who was, I'm sure I was at least top five among top beaters in the world. I'm sure I met top five because I had a real problem. I was Okay. I'm talking about top five in the world. I can be sure
for 10
seconds. And so you gotta let them know. So there was an addiction there. The addiction was to pornography. And until you deal with that and until you develop self-control, you're going to have that issue. And we're seeing this more and more in our culture because research is showing that people would prefer pornography over the real thing nowadays. People would prefer to be home, just, again, pleasuring themselves and on porn than dealing with an actual person because we're losing that touch. We're losing that sense of I don't know how you would call it, that real organic chemistry between two individuals. People would rather not go on dates. They're not even dating anymore. If they're meeting up with people, it's just for sex. It's, you know, swipe left, right. Swipe right. Are you interested? It's become very superficial now. And so this is why, I mean, people have access to porn literally on their phones. And so it's 9 out of 10 times, I'm telling you, I think there's an addiction there. There's a problem. Sometimes it may not have anything to do with the woman, but it does start with a conversation. You have to sit and have a dialogue with this husband of yours and say, hey, what is the real problem? How can I help?
Right. Here's the thing, and this is going to just really sum it up. Shekinah said something really, really key. And she said, unless you are just in it for yourself, you know, you get yours and I'm going to get mine. When people have that selfish attitude when it comes to intimacy, when you have a selfish attitude, you're going to have a problem in your sex life. I'm going to go out on a limb here. And yes, I'm a man of God, but I got to tell it like it is. I am a very, very sexual person. That's the nicest way I could put it. I'm gonna just go ahead and say I'm a freak, and I'm into some stuff that a lot of people
we don't need to know
frown
all
upon.
Oh my God! Okay,
Listen. I'm into some stuff that most people would frown upon. But when I get into the bedroom, it is not about me and what I'm into. When I get into the bedroom, here's my philosophy. If I don't come at all, I'm satisfied making her come. If I don't reach climax at all,
orgasm. Okay.
If I don't orgasm at all, do you know it is so hot and it's such a turn on that I made that my woman climax.
But what if,
I made her orgasm.
Listen,
and that.
Let me ask y'all this question here, and this is for the guys. I'm glad you brought that up. We have about 10 minutes left. So what if it's just a natural thing? Not every time that you're with your mate, your husband or your wife, that she will have an orgasm. That's just a natural thing.
What?
I mean, does that is that a bothersome? Hold up.
What?
Because I know you're the first one to answer. Yeah. You know,
what?
Sometimes she just, you know, like, you know.
I
just say something. However, not every time. And it's proven fact, not every time that she's with you that there's an orgasm. Imagine you with your wife in 5 or 6, 7 days out of the week you have sex. You think that every time that you have sex there's an orgasm?
I think so.
No person.
Y'all serious right now? Really?
Let me say something.
If you have a question before we finish or you got a comment, press one. But I hate to bust y'all bubbles out there, gentlemen.
That's like
you know,
ego.
I don't want to be the person of bad news.
No, I don't think it's the ego.
Not at all.
I don't think it's the ego.
No,
Let me tell you something.
Tell him, John.
Let me tell you something. All that screaming, all that yelling people do, let's keep it 100. I was married for some years. It's not all that. All that noise y'all do, that's not what men do. There are men who've got some sense. They're paying attention to some physiological body language and movement, breathing, all sorts of stuff. Listen, that real stuff can't be faked. And once you've seen that real stuff and you're an observant guy, you know the real stuff. And yes, I think every time it's from what I've seen, from what I've observed, it's very possible. But again, everybody's physical anatomy is different. Everyone's physical
anatomy is
different. You have women. I've known women who were. I gotta have it. I need to have this. And women who just were not up to it. I know women who are ready to jump on a brother. Hey, I need
that. That doesn't mean that there was an explosion.
Well, let me tell you this. Tamika. Let me say this to my sisters. Y'all have been experiencing some trash men. Y'all have not. Whoever y'all been with, they have been trash. And they have been selfish. And they have not been in tune with your body.
All right. So, Hold up, I got a caller. Let me get this caller. And before I get this caller, Gerald, they said that your wife probably was faking it. But let me get this caller right here. caller, what's your phone number ending in 7288? Hi. Hi. So do you have a question or a comment?
Can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay. I was going to answer your question, but I'm kind of scared now because all the fellas in there, to answer your question, if there is an experience when she does not happen to have an orgasm, that goes, you can't worry about the type of stuff with somebody you obviously having like a one night stand with or somebody you're seeing occasionally. Now, when it comes to your partner, if it happens, then okay, occasionally it happens, but it's not nothing to be upset about, or especially if you know through the experience or with your experience with your partner that she's more than like satisfied, but not her reaching the climax every single time. It's not a disappointment because all in all, I'm gonna still take care of that the next time or handle it the next opportunity. But it is
good point.
It is very possible. But it's not something to upset, especially if it's a consistent sexual relationship. Now, the ones you see every now and again, of course, you're going to do everything you can to make sure they come, to make sure a few months later they call you again because you did your job. But
Yes, sir.
When it's a consistent partner, it's not a disappointment at all. And as far as it being a non-consistent partner, you might not get that call when they get that itch again, but it's still not a disappointment, though, in my opinion.
Well, thank you so much. And where are you calling
from? Thank you, man. Thank you.
I'm calling from Cali.
All right.
Cali.
All right, thank you so much. Stay on the line.
Well,
I have another caller. I have another caller.
Go ahead.
With their phone number ending in 7537. Go ahead. Do you have a question or a comment?
I have a comment. I just wanted to say, I hear the blog. It's great. It's very helpful. I think a lot
Thank
of
you.
Things that we're discussing is physical, but with a woman, or just in my opinion, it's not all physical. It has to be an emotional, I would say, to not just make her have a physical orgasm, but she needs a mental orgasm, an emotional orgasm. You have to be able to touch her on different levels, and I'm talking about a wife, not a girlfriend.
Come on.
But so when
Come
I
on.
Say that, So I need foreplay, not just when I get in the bedroom, but I need you to tell me something throughout the day. Leave me little notes. Just do different things that makes me get already be to a certain level when I get into the bedroom with you, and we don't have to start from scratch. So
that's
this
right.
is what I feel. It's not just a physical thing, but we need to have an orgasmic relationship, period, however we communicate sexually, physically, mentally, emotionally. So that's my comment.
Thank you.
That was good.
Wow, that was really good. That was really
good.
Caller, what's your name?
My name is Kiwanda Chow. I'm calling from Albany, Georgia. And Shakina's
and your name
my mother.
Is
I get it from her.
Shakina Screen is your mother. Oh, okay.
And I get
wow.
it from her.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, listen, that's all I'm saying.
Listen, don't be in
if
her
you,
DM.
If,
don't be in her DM.
Listen, I'm not.
I know
here.
That's why
like
she's a
what?
Happily
don't
married
don't put,
woman. Okay, happily
don't
married.
Don't be putting me out there. Don't be putting me out there like that. Whatever. Don't be putting me out there like that. Listen, what this woman just said was so on point. Now, I'm going to ask this question. If a man is doing all that, if I'm going throughout the day and I'm stimulating your mind, I'm stimulating your emotions, by the time we get to the bedroom, you are ready. You've been thinking about the thing that I told you this morning, what I whispered to you in your ear this morning, that text message that I sent to you. You're thinking about that note that you found in your purse while you were on your lunch break. You mean to tell me, after doing all of that, we're going to get home and you ain't going to orgasm?
Please let me cancel.
It's something wrong.
Maybe not.
It's something
so
wrong.
We're going to wrap this up, and I'm going to wrap it up with your last thoughts, Shakina. Go ahead.
Okay. Gerald, we're not saying that you can do all that and entice us and give us the flowers at the job and all that stuff and get us ready. Absolutely, you're right. We should climax. But here's the reality. Sometimes we tired and we just ain't into it. So you know what we'll do? Just so that you can know that you did your part and all your efforts wasn't in vain, we're going to be like, yeah!
Mm-hmm.
And think and let Come you know on. That it was all good and we were with you in that moment. But really, we weren't there and it's nothing against you. Most times, women, we wear so many hats. Here's the thing. We wear so many hats, we'd be tired. But we know this is an area that we need to make sure our man is satisfied. So I would rather fake it and so you can know that you always sit down. You know what I'm saying? Then the message
well,
your ego
well,
is like, dang, what, am I not
well,
doing
well,
it right?
Well, let
am
me
I
say
something
this.
Wrong? You know, so I think as women, it's nothing wrong. It's nothing against men. It's not that you don't have it. You ain't putting it down. It's not that. It's just that some days, because we do so much, we just not there. But we're going to make sure you know we're there, whether we're there or not. And that's all that matters.
Well, thank you so much. And I think I'm going to close with that because we only have 1.5 minutes. And I'm going to say this. I think it was one of the most important things that I think it was maybe Lewis had said. Everybody said some good points, but he did say something about the love languages. And I think that's probably one of the most foreplays there is. Just even as Gerald was saying, you know, I'm going to do things throughout the day. But I think that love language kind of sets the mood when it comes to our sexual appetite with our mates, our husbands. Whomever, or if you haven't gotten to that point yet, it kind of sets that mood too there. So I just want to say I thank everyone here for the conversation. Guys, and if you have something or have a conversation that you want to go ahead and put out there, and I thank the person who actually had given me this information. I think it was great dialogue. Thank you for everyone who has been listening. If you have a conversation, you can send us at relationship204@gmail.com. You can leave a comment here on Blog Talk. It's blogtalk.com/204. Make sure to share and also tell a friend. We're here every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, and we would love for you guys to join. You can catch us on all social media. Just go ahead and follow us here on the blog, and you will be able to see each person's name and follow them on social media. We want to thank you guys for listening to Blog Talk Relationship 204, and we'll ask everyone to have a great night. Good night, guys.